Before I ask Paul to lead us in worship, I just need to mention a word to you, and that word is coronavirus. It's a motive word, but I need to tell you just a little bit about how it affects us. We want everyone to be kept safe during this period, and we know from what we're told that it's going to get worse before it gets better. So if I bring you up to date, following our worship this morning, the advisory group will be having an emergency meeting to discuss how we approach and we work in this church during the next few months, and how we can communicate with everyone that is what is happening. All I can tell you at this very moment, the divisional commander is responsible as to whether we hold worship on a Sunday or not. And at the moment, he's saying that people should self-examine themselves, and if they feel they don't want to come to the meeting, you don't come. But until he decides that we're closing, we will still remain open. We will be discussing in our meeting what happens to the events that take place in our weekly events, and we will let you know as soon as possible what those results are. I would ask, if you have any other symptoms, go stay away, okay? If you get a continuous cough, if you get a fever, if you get a high temperature, then don't come, stay away and isolate yourself. Wow, Sue, it's your birthday today. You just missed it by a year, didn't you? Or two. Thank you very much for listening. Now, will you welcome Paul?
Thank you, sir. Quite scary times, really, aren't they? I've been thinking about, the regular worship here, and I would commend to any of you who do not come to church in future weeks, because that's the wisdom that you want to engage with, that this service and other services that may or may not be held will be on the web if you have access to the web. So there are people who will be listening to this service later in this week. So I'd like to sort of start off a little routine with us all, because we often forget that people are listening on the web, and I think we need to welcome them too. So after I welcome you, we're going to say together, welcome listeners, all right? So that's your response, welcome listeners. You're so welcome here this morning, and so glad that you've been able to make it. And we're also going to welcome our listeners. Welcome, listeners. Thank you. I'm sure they're now listening intently. We normally start with a portion of scripture to call us to worship. And if I said to you, what is the most sung psalm? I'm sure you're all thinking in your minds, Psalm 23. And I think you would be right, wouldn't you? Okay, so I'm now going to ask another question. What's the second most sung psalm, do you think? What do you think is the second most sung psalm? You're near the right number. 91, go up four. Not in age. 95 is the most sung psalm. I'll tell you why, because the Church of England have been singing it in their morning services for decades and decades and decades. They sing it every Sunday in a traditional service. And I wonder if we've got something to encourage us about from that particular psalm. So have a listen, and then we're going to sing our first song. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us heartily rejoice in the strength of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and show ourselves glad in him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God. He is a great king above all gods. In his hands are all the corners of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. and his hands prepared the dry land. Come, let us worship and fall down and kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is the Lord our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Let's sing a joyful song. In my heart a song is ringing. Do sit down. Sue is going to come and lead us in our opening prayers for today.
At this point in our worship, we take the opportunity to reflect on the week that has passed and look forward to what is to come. And what a strange week it has been. A week when footballers and other sportsmen were banned from shaking hands at the start of a match and adopting the elbow nudge instead. A week where the nation has identified new priorities and cleared the supermarket shelves of pasta, rice and toilet rolls. A week where I'm sure many of you, like me, have sung countless verses of happy birthday as you've washed your hands. A week where two boxes of tissues and a bottle of hand sanitizer were placed on my classroom desk in a bid to limit the spread of germs in school. It's been a crazy week. And whilst preparing for our prayer time this morning, my mind kept returning to the image of hands, something we take for granted most of the time. We use our hands to wash dishes, to write words. We use them to clap and show appreciation and to eat. God created hands to do things, but also to work to advance the kingdom. Did you know that the word hand appears 1,466 times in the Bible and a further 462 times in its plural form, hands? In Isaiah 19, verse 16, we see the strength of God's hand. In that day, Egypt will be like women and will be afraid and fear because of the waving of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he waves over it. When God created us, he gave us hands to hold things, tools, writing implements, food, and many other things. When children are small, they like to say, mine, and not share the toy or food or whatever it is that's in their hands. As adults, we have a tendency to do this too. What God has placed in our hands, we are to use for his glory. As we reflect on the difficult week that has passed and move forward to the week ahead, I invite you to take time to look at your hands and consider how you will use them to enhance the glory of God. We may have to abstain from shaking hands with each other this morning as we greet each other, but that doesn't stop us from sharing fellowship and welcoming each other this morning. We can raise our hands to the Lord in praise. We can clap as we sing and worship. And of course, we can place our hands together, palm to palm, and bring everything to the Lord in prayer. And I invite you to do that just now. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are able to meet in your house this morning, and that as a church community we can welcome one another without restriction. At this difficult time, we pray for our world leaders, scientists, and medical experts as we listen to what they have to say. Give them the grace and strength to do what they can to calm a worried world and to find a way forward. We ask this morning that we are mindful of their advice and think about each other. Lord, we thank you for all the good things that are happening despite this current situation. The community spirit, the acts of kindness, however small, that makes such a big difference to those around us. And in our church, Lord, this morning, we think about those who are not so well. We bring them to you right here, right now. We think about those who are unable to be with us today for whatever reason, and those who once worshipped with us regularly and no longer attend. Be especially close to them right now and let them know that you are with them wherever they are this morning. As we share together today in our act of worship to you, we just bring everything together. The craziness of the week past and the hope for the week ahead. And we place it all in your hands just now. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sue, so much for that reflective time and prayer time. I suppose we ought to remind ourselves of the holy habit that we're following this month, and it's making more disciples. And we've read before Jesus' command to the disciples, which is called the Great Commission. And I'm going to read it again now. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Can we have my first display up, Jackie, please? We're having a bit of a reminiscence today, but before that, I wanted to tell you that I'm going to become a fisherman. And you can see that I've got it already. Here I am, I've got my net. In fact, I've got several nets. There appears to be plenty of fish about at the moment. And at the end of this short talk, I will be seeing if I can catch any. So keep your eye on that. But now listen to this. I've been wondering just what sort of influence the Salvation Army has had on me since I started worshipping with you. And I want to share that with you this morning, because that's part of my journey of being a disciple. And I suppose my first memory is this. Now, I don't know if you'll remember it, but in the 1950s, when the Salvation Army Hall was in Walton, Felixstowe, I used to go. Now, I'd forgotten that. I used to go. It wasn't on a Sunday, but it was in the week. And we used to go there to get, well, me and my two sisters and my mum, my cod liver oil and my orange. Do you remember when the hall at Walton used to distribute the cod liver oil and the orange to keep us healthy? That was a lovely time. I'd forgotten that. I'd forgotten the influence that would have had on my health in those early years of the 50s. And so, down memory lane, Here is a picture which some of you will be only too familiar with. It's about 1900. I didn't go there then. And you can see where the two ladies are on the pavement at the foreground. Just immediately above them, there is the old Salvation Army Hall. And it was been there since about... I'm just going to get my pictures so I can see what's coming next. It's been there since about... That actual hall's been there. It was built in about 1886, actually. But the Salvation Army didn't start there. This is the very earliest photo that we've got of the Salvation Army membership, and it was taken in... I'm looking here because I shall forget the name of it. In the old Gospel Hall in Orwell Road. Now, none of you would remember that, but it's the place where the old People's Community Centre is now. That was the site of it. What an austere-looking lot they were. I also hear that they had to be, although they did bring in reinforcements when they moved to Walton in about 1900. Interesting up there, we've got some dates up there of the birth of this church, 1886. And I read in the records that, in fact, you, if you were there then, which you weren't, were quite a rowdy lot. And they used to get the local shop owners in to keep you in order. So there's a little bit there about the history. And then, oh yes, some of you will remember this. Well, not the date, because it's 1923. And 1923, this picture was taken, and it's showing what was the mercy seat. Now, many of you will remember the mercy seat because it came here. I think that's right, John, isn't it? And this cross is made out of that mercy seat. Thank you. It came here. And let's show you another picture. Because actually we're getting closer to the memory of somebody in this church. 1923 that was. And we've still got to wait another 3 years before Harold was born. And Harold was born, if I've got the date right, Harold, I hope I've got it right, the 11th of March, 1926. Yes. So Harold has got a good memory, and he's made a powerful influence on the work of the Salvation Army. It was his birthday, Wednesday. So, what are we going to do? Children, would you join me and everybody else in singing Happy Birthday to Harold? 94 last Wednesday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Harold. Happy birthday to you. You know, as a church family, it's very important to encourage one another and to live as a family. And singing happy birthday is part of what we do in families, isn't it? I'm not sure about this picture because there's some confusing notes on this actual picture. Whether it's this Salvation Army band or not, I don't know. What it does say is that this was a parade of the Salvation Army band in Walton High Street. You can recognise the High Street. And this was the time in 1947, some might remember that, when it was a celebration day and they wore red tunics, not the duller colours they wear today. Here's the band in 1965. Well, you'll recognise a lot of people in that picture. In fact, I've got a list of them here. I'll just see if I can find it. You'll see John Ranner, you'll see Doug Askew, you'll see Clive Harold, you'll see Trevor Baker, Joe Little's there, Bob Versey, Peter Howlett, Roy Eldis, and Harold Emney. So he gets two mentions in this week's service. And here, a great week was had in 1976. This is Adventure Week. how you pulled the children in Adventure Week 1976. Here's another picture, and this is a picture of the singing company in 1977. This singing company, up till that date, had been led by Barbara Aldous. And this is a time when she actually gave up leading the singing group, and she went to help dear Roy with his work with the Corps Cadets. Let's have another look at a picture. Only a year later, and Bram was now running the singing group. What an important heritage this church have of touching people's lives with the love of Christ. Oh, this is not in your record. This is where I come on the scene again. And in the 1960s, the Salvation Army in Walton used to have a youth club coffee evening after church. I didn't go to the Salvation Army, but I think you also had a rhythm group going at that time called something or other. Perhaps someone will remind me. There was a rhythm group that you had, but this isn't that rhythm group. This is a group called the Boanerges. Now, I don't know if you know much about the Boanerges, but we loved them. And the young people of Felixstowe used to crowd in to the Salvation Army Hall in Walton then. The Boanerges. And there are two people, as you look at it, on the left of your screen. That is, the lady's called Pam and the gentleman's called Ivan. I didn't know that at the time. But here's the strange thing. You know, our work as people who are disciples of Christ is a piece of work that isn't individual. We are all commissioned to be disciples of Christ and to make other disciples. This group were pulling in the young people, and I didn't know, but I was to meet them about 30 years later, because it appeared that Gillian knew them as well. I just met Gillian, and she had some dear friends, these two, Pam and Ivan, who she wanted them to vet me. I'd only just met, and I thought, my goodness, I really was on my best behaviour. They thought I was lovely. Pam and Ivan, who have touched my life, Gillian's life, and some of your lives, because they're the couple that ran the River of Life coffee shop. If you've been in the River of Life coffee shop a few years ago when it was there, Pam and Ivan Thurlow. And it just struck me how important it is to recognise that we work together as Christian people, being disciples, spreading the word, encouraging others, fishing for men. Children, I'm now going to catch my fish, all right? Are you ready? I've thrown the net out. Now, if this doesn't work, no jeering, but I'm going to catch the fish. I've got this lovely net here. I'm going to move these nets because I don't want these ones. They're not useful to me. These nets are not useful to me. This net is because I can use this net, and in fact, I can use it all on my own. I don't need anybody to help me today. I don't need anyone to help me. So I'm now, oh, look, there's a fisherman. I'm now going to see if I can catch some fish. And I can. The only trouble is I've also caught the stand there on. But this, can you just see that net? How there are weights on it. I don't know if you can. But the fish are now caught in the net and trapped with the weights. I'm going to be talking to the adults about fishing nets later on. Singing company, while I get untangled. Would you like to come and sing to us?
Thank you very much. That was brilliant. Next time you sing it, I'll do the solo. Okay? Thank you, Liz. Well, are you washing your hands? Well, we gave you a little... Last Sunday, we asked you not to shake hands when you came in. You did that well. Today, we're going one step further. We are not going to risk passing the collection plate along the line for fear the person next to you has got something you don't want. So the collection will take place as you go out this morning. You'll see the plates in the foyer. So please don't put your money back in your pocket. Keep it ready and put it in the plate when you leave. Children, in a few moments, you're going to go to your Sunday school and to the primary. But before you do, we're just going to say a special prayer for you. So, shall we pray? Lord, we really love our children and we're glad to see them. We realize that we're small in number as a Sunday school, but it's just as important that young people learn more about you. So I just pray for those who will lead, that you will give them the right words to teach the youngsters. And we pray for each one of them that their lives may grow and grow, and they will become disciples for you. So, Lord, be with our leaders of the Sunday school and the children as they make their way there now. Amen. Amen. Right, this is where you can go. Only one more year and Sue will be too old for the Sunday school. As you can see from the number of people we have in the hall, that there are obviously people who have taken the decision not to take any risk and to meet like this, and that's entirely up to them. And also, as I said, the divisional commander will tell us when the meetings are to stop, as we're doing them now. But we will be discussing the midweek. I'm leaving it down to the leaders of the sections and the sections themselves and the Bible study groups to decide if they are going to meet or not. The Bible group that normally meets on Thursday will not meet this Thursday. There'll be no Bible study on Thursday for the lads and ladies. If you are in a group, then you need to have a word with your leader to see what decision they have made. Next Sunday, all being well, it will be Mother's Day, and we will be celebrating Mothers next Sunday at 10:30. I'm asked to remind those of you who need a new shirt or blouse with the new logo on, then you need to see Libby today or you'll be too late to get them in the big order. And you'll see in your bulletin that some people have been concerned about Davide and his family in Italy. Well, we find that at present time they're all very well and doing nicely, so that's great. Remember Davide and his family in your prayers. On the 4th of April, if we are still able to, there will be the tea with Major Noel Wright, and that's at 6:30 on the Saturday evening. I believe there's a list on the notice board, and still opportunity for you to put your name down to come along to that event. We've been advertising a CYM fundraiser on the 23rd of May, but I can now tell you that that particular event has been cancelled. In case you're confused, I'll, for the next few weeks, remind you that the Good Friday meeting starts at 9:30 here, and there will be soup and rolls provided after the open air on the triangle. But if you are going to take opportunity to have that, then there's a list, there will be a list on the board, please, in the next 2 weeks for you to have a look.
Thank you. I'm going to invite you now to read from the screens while the band plays their piece for today. It's It's a lovely piece. If you know it, you might like to sing along quietly, but I don't know it, but I've chosen it for the words. And it's an introduction to what I'm going to talk about today. It's called By the Peaceful Shores of Galilee. And the main theme of this is something like, as in the days of Galilee, Jesus still calls you and me. So thank you, band. And we'll have the words up on screen. Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. The people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, one belonging to Simon, and asked to be put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down. And he taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Before I bring you some thoughts about that passage, we're going to sing. We're going to sing about the need in the world for Christ's love and the knowledge of Christ. And also, we're going to sing about the need to have God's Holy Spirit with us to help us in that task. Great is the darkness that covers the earth. Do stand now. Do sit down. Put me out. There we go, you see. It happens. Can I have the next set of pictures? It's picture morning this morning, everybody. I'm not one for using technology, but I've been practicing, so you're going to get them anyhow. Today, I'm taking you to the Sea of Galilee. And there's a wonderful picture of the Sea of Galilee, taken from very far up, the place where Jesus spoke so much to his disciples and to the crowds, and the place where Jesus invited his disciples to follow him. Fishermen. Here is the remnants of a first century fishing boat. It's called the Jesus boat. It's kept in a museum. And it's there for all to see. Authentic, probably very much like the boat that Jesus and his disciples would have travelled in. And that's a picture, a painting of what it would look like, would have looked like, functioning. And Jesus says to his disciples several times, doesn't he? Both at the start of his ministry and at the end of his ministry, have you caught any fish? Don't know if you like the look of that fish. It's called St. Peter's fish. And I don't know if you can see, but it's got a sort of a spot in the middle of it. And what I'm now going to tell you isn't true, all right? But I'm going to tell you it. The story that goes behind that spot is that marks the place where St. Peter put his thumb when Jesus invited him to go and catch one fish and pay for the temple tax, which they've been challenged over. And so Peter did. He took his line and he caught one fish, and he went inside the holding the fish. He went inside the mouth of the fish, and he found 4 drachmas. That's 1 coin, 4 drachmas. And Jesus said to him, right, off you go then. You pay my temple tax, and there's 2 drachmas there for yours as well. But of course, this fish now is a celebrity. Not for long, because it gets eaten. And that's what happened at the Sea of Galilee. You can go there today and all the restaurants around the lake will be selling this fish with chips. I wonder what we can learn from the way in which those disciples fished. My net, which I practiced like mad before today, it worked beautifully. All the fish got caught up, and today I caught more than I bargained for. But fishermen do. Fishermen do catch more than they bargain for. This net is quite important, I think, in terms of the net that the disciples would have used, either on shore, just on the shoreline, or in a boat not far from the shore. It's a cast net, and it could be operated by one person, catching not that many fish. Here's another net. It took a team of fishermen to work this one. This was sort of trawling the fish in. But you'll notice that the people still stood on the shoreline. It's called a drag net because the fishermen dragged the fish in. There's another picture of them with the net even further out. But it was about 1,000 feet long, that actual net. And then there's this net, which is a very complex net. I couldn't get a full picture of this, but this was a net that used to get dropped in the Sea of Galilee, about 100 foot long. There'd be several of them all in a row, and this net caught massive numbers of fish. And I wonder what the disciples thought when Jesus called them to be fishers of men. Did they look at their nets? What net would they use? Do we look at those nets? Because we too are commanded to be fishers of men. And which net would we choose? This last net, where masses of fish were caught, was very popular socially. This sort of net was popular in the days of the Crusades. Billy Graham would get masses of people in. And don't be deceived, because Crusades still happen and they still bring people in. J. John, I don't know if you know J. John, he's an international evangelist, works mainly in London, often comes to Felixstowe actually. And he drew 27,000 people in the crusade that he ran 2 years ago. So let's not forget the big crusades are still happening, and masses of people are in this country and over the world being drawn into the knowledge of Jesus. I wonder which net today, though, we should be using. This church, the people of this church.
It's hard to bring people in. It's hard to bring people into the church, and it's hard to bring people into the faith. And therefore, we have to choose our net wisely. The best net is the cast net. It's the net that you can use. It's the net that you can throw out and hopefully catch some fish. But like all good fishermen, you might need a bit of patience. Maureen, come and tell us about the cast net that you've thrown and that you threw quite some time ago.
Okay, I'll keep this brief. It was about 22, 23 years ago when Diane and Gough were here, and Diane one Sunday morning gave out a, not a proposition, but a, what do I want? A suggestion for what we should do to go out and mix with non-Christians, because I think you'll all agree that our main friend base are Christians. But she threw this challenge out, so I weren't quite sure what I should do. But at the time, my neighbour and I were starting to learn patchwork, and she got fed up with going to classes and said, why don't you go and then you can teach me when you come back? I don't like going to those classes. So that put a seed in my head, and that was when I started doing my patchwork classes, and I invited various people who, some were Christians, some weren't. And 22 years later, we still have a small group. When I started, we were at Mill Lane, so I had a big bedroom there that I could do it in. But now they've only got a small room, so there's only three who come now. But we're still functioning after 22 years. And yes, I've thrown the net out several times. The Lord caught one, and we have some good discussions. And yeah, it's a chance for me to talk about Jesus and my faith. And I do know there's other people who do various things, like knitting and nattering, with other people outside the church as well. So they throw their nets as well.
I think we need some tips from fishermen, don't we? If only we ask fishermen how they can be successful, they might give us a few tips. Oh, but first of all, we need to make sure that our nets are in good order. If we're going to throw out our net, we need to make sure it's a good net and a healthy net. We need to be healthy, healthy in our faith. So, four fishing tips. Good fishermen go where the fish are located. And that's out there. Good fishermen understand how fish behave. Well, that's really referring to that we need to understand the people we bump into out there. We need to get to know them. We need to become friendly towards them. If we can't go so far as to make them our special friends, we need to be friendly so that in our conversations we can share something of the gospel. It might be an action. There's a phrase, isn't there, that is, what is it? Go out and spread the gospel or preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Well, I don't fully agree with that. I think we should go out and spread the gospel and behave as Christian folk would, but sometimes we do need to use words. Just a little expression of what God is doing for us, or what the church means to us, or what our faith means to us. Good fishermen use a variety of strategies. That's the nets that I was talking about. Some people are gifted to speak to large numbers, thousands. Some people are more gifted to quietly go about with their cast net. And good fishermen expect to catch fish. I don't know any fisherman that would go out if they didn't expect to catch fish. Gillian, where are you? your turn. Because with Gillian, what I want to go to is back to this one. Good fishermen go to where the fish are located.
Okay, I'm just going to talk briefly about Noah's Ark, which happened on the Thursday afternoon here in this hall. And as our numbers have dwindled, we've had to rethink what we're doing. And on a Monday morning, there's lots of mums and young children here at Mother and Toddler Group. And so we talked with Sue, and what we are doing now, we have moved Noah's Ark to the second Monday of the month, and I come into Mother and Toddler Group with Jackie and Paul, and we share the scripture stories there. And we're building things up very slowly, because obviously it's a big change for them. But they love singing, so we've been singing lots of Bible-based songs. They play the instruments, we have a story, and then do the craft. And we had to move with the times because they weren't coming to us, so we had to go to them. And so perhaps on the second Monday of each month, you'll remember us as we meet with those families and share with them. Thank you.
Thank you. And there are the pictures of the most recent group of activity with these youngsters. You'll notice that we get them to follow. They follow that flag, follow one another into their activity room. And it's there that we play and sing. We do craft activities based on a Bible story. And we listen. Look at those little ones listening to what Gillian is sharing with them about the gospel message. Of course, the stories are simple, but we have to know our fish, don't we? So what is my message today? Well, my message today is good fishermen go where fish are located. They're not going to rush into this hall anymore like they used to. Good fishermen understand how fish behave. We need to be out in the world understanding people. Good fishermen use a variety of strategies. There's not one way to speak with people and relate to people. Good fishermen expect to catch fish. And you know, sometimes we've lost heart with that. Sometimes we've lost heart with the expectation of catching fish. God bless you this week as you go out there. Keep safe. There's a lot of need out there at the moment, isn't there? With the virus that we've been talking about at the start of the service. It is an opportunity to keep safe, but also an opportunity safely to serve others. We're now going to have a contribution from the songsters, please. Sorry, mental block.
I'll get this bit right. Thank you, songsters. We're going to close our service now with our last hymn, and it's another stalwart from the Salvation Army songbook. I've been looking at some of the old songs and trying to familiarise myself with them. So here's an old one for you that I think I know now. So let's stand and sing The Lord's Command. A benediction for you. Go to where the fish are located. Understand how the fish behave. Use a variety of strategies. Expect to catch fish. And be patient if you don't catch any immediately. And the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord turn his face towards us and give us peace in our hearts and peace in our homes. Amen.